Item number two, a resolution by Supervisors Jurcik, Dmitrievich, Bowen, Johnson, Wyshon, and Lipscomb authorizing the Director of Economic Development to negotiate with Barrett Visionary Development on the purchase and development on the 2.2-acre Milwaukee County Transit Center property located at 909 East Michigan Avenue in the city of Milwaukee.
Thank you very much. Madam Chairwoman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. What you have before you is Resolution 12633, and it is offered by a number of supervisors, and I'm on behalf of that group of supervisors, I'm presenting that resolution to you today to this committee. Now that the administration finally has presented the responses to our request for information in a proper venue, this County Board Committee on Economic and Community Development, it's time to move forward. With this resolution, Milwaukee County takes a deliberate and thoughtful approach to the development of this valuable land where the downtown transit center currently is located near the lakefront. If the committee, the county board, and the county executive all endorse this resolution, the Director of Economic Development will be authorized to enter into negotiations with the Barrett Visionary Development in order for Milwaukee County to proceed with his couture proposal. Prior to making a final recommendation to the County Board of Supervisors, the Committee on Economic and Community Development will engage citizens by holding public hearings on the development proposal. Importantly, this resolution also sets parameters for the negotiations. The resolution solicits fair market value for this prime real estate, seeks a development agreement that incorporates components of our Park East Redevelopment Compact in order to provide community benefits that include best faith efforts to employ minorities from Milwaukee County. It gives direction to the administration to work with key stakeholders. It also determines if any portion of the development site is in conflict with the public trust doctrine, and it ensures that the sale proceeds can be reinvested into transit services. The Committee on Economic and Community Development is the entity responsible for reviewing and approving the final development agreement and ensuring that the negotiation principles contained in this resolution are included in the final development agreement. Therefore, your due diligence and oversight of this development project will be absolutely critical. I thank you for your consideration of this resolution, and I ask that you endorse this legislation so that we can move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mrs.
DeFore, would you... some information has come to us with respect to the public trust doctrine. Would you tell the committee members as to what that is about as far as your contact with the Department of Natural Resources?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Supervisors, Madam Chairwoman, we have been in contact with the DNR for the past week on the lake bed issue. It's very important. Back in, it would have been August of 2011, right around the summer of 2011, when the Long Range Lakefront Planning Committee was meeting, and they thought they were going to come up with the recommendation to redevelop the transit site. They thought, well, we should really check on see if there's any lake bed here, because, you know, it's really important to us. And so we did that. We reached out to the DNR. The DNR got back to us with all their maps and a letter stating that as of August 4th, 2011, the transit center does not sit on lake bed. Therefore, is not subject to public trust. It's our understanding that a map was submitted to the DNR about a week ago or so. So the DNR is currently reviewing those maps for its validity and will get back to us as soon as they can. But from what they told us is that we still have the letter from them, which goes back to, I think, 1920 when the legislation was passed creating the public trust doctrine. And so we'll currently work with them. We've been talking to them. I've talked to them on Friday afternoon, and I'll talk to them again today.
And if whatever their decision is, whatever information is provided, we will provide to members of the committee.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions regarding the resolution? Supervisor Weishner, any concerns?
No, Mr. Chairman, at this time, I'd like to move approval of item two.
Supervisor Weishon, move approval of item number two. It was brought to my attention that Supervisor Haas would like to be added as a co-sponsor of this resolution. Is there any objection? So on.
Supervisor
Schmidt.
Yes, just brief comment. I haven't weighed in the public
public comments, et cetera, all this. But I think the resolution in front of us that our chairperson has worked on with, in conjunction with other people, I think this comes, I mean, I think we've all tried to work hard to get on the same page here. And I think with the new administration, new ideas, we extensively talked about this, you know, RFPs versus RFIs. But, you know, I think what good will come of this, and I guess I would just point out for just to understand here, you know, everybody wants everything done sooner than later. Or, you know, like there's always, I always had a, and a lot of our maybe desks have, you want it when everybody expects everything to be done, you know, the day before. Mr. Mester knows this when you get stuff, when you get PR stuff and that. But I guess just to try to calm down and take a deep breath on all this is the public, you know, we do have responsibility to make sure the public always has a say here. And this makes it difficult because the way democracy works, especially in development areas, you know, things take a long time. And the reason they do is that, I've made this comment before, but I guess I'll make it one more time, is that the best thing about democracy, of course, is everybody has their say. The time-consuming and frustrating thing about democracy is everybody has their say. And all the I's, the T's, you know, I's have to be dotted, the T's have to be crossed, so these things take time. And there should be no surprise that the respective branches might have different ways or perspectives on looking at things. But it's our job now to get them, and I think this is an example that will bring us together, you know, understand and respect for each other and how a process will work. I'm glad to see that, and I think this engendered this to work together. So, you know, we're not always going to work together perfectly, and no one, nothing moves as fast. I can cite all sorts of examples, which I won't bother here, in development areas particularly, that I've certainly had to work on, and previous county boards, and this county board has worked on recently, as a matter of fact. We've done a couple of big deals recently. So the system does work, but the system was never intended to work fast. And in interpretations we have in this area with the new administrations on both our sides, I think we needed to get together on this. So I hope we learn from this. I think we do. You always learn through tougher spots and how to work things out. And I think this developer, which we'll get, you know, more information from, and it really is our duty to look at it and do the due diligence. But a lot of these areas we've talked about with the PERC and other things have been done, you know, by this developer, and with the Modine was a good example of that. So I just wanted to have a chance to say that, and I appreciate the work's been done, and we can move forward on this resolution. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. I would like to go to line 66 of the resolution.
We're missing page two.
Yeah, we don't have page two.
Yeah. I go from 39 to 77, too. I was looking for that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Trying to find another copy.
Page 2.
Do you have page
2? No.
I've got it, sure.
Page 2 of my 66.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
Come prepared.
Okay.
Do committee members have page 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move to amend line 66. And after minorities, add and women in the project. So the full line 66 would read, employ Milwaukee County racial minorities and women in the project.
Thank you. Any discussion on the amendment? That would adhere to our PERC requirements. Seeing no discussion, Madam. Seeing no indication of discussion, Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll on the amendment?
Supervisors Bowen.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
5 ayes, 0 noes.
Thank you. Before we proceed, as a amended. I have at least three cards. I have three individuals who would like to speak.
Thank you.
Jerry Topper, you come forward, please.
Good morning. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get by with pie in the sky. That's a lie. Those words are taken from a song from the Industrial Workers' Little Red Songbook written by Joe Hill called The Worker and the Slave. And what we have before us today with this Couture project is pie in the sky. When the socialists got control of this city at the turn of the last century, the first thing they did was to protect and enhance worker rights. And the next thing they did was to protect the pristine nature of our lakefront. This 44-story monstrosity on a bog is going to destroy our lakefront for the rest of the 21st century. I don't think this building can even withstand the 21st century, given the fact that you're building it on bog land, but the destruction of our lakefront that belongs to the people and not to the corporate, not to the elite, not to the rich and the wealthy is something that we in Milwaukee have always believed, and we're seeding that today with this process. It's very interesting. Milwaukee, nobody, of course, has read John Goethe's book today because we have the Pabst Building, 110 East Wisconsin Avenue, our original skyscraper in Milwaukee. 1934, the city ordered that the top 14 stories of it be taken off, be demolished, because it was built on bog and it was sinking into Middle Earth. You might remember that we tried to save and we failed to save in 1981 when they finally demolished the building, the arch. I've put together a series of, I'm going to leave this with you, a series of pictures of Milwaukee from the 20th century and how everything balanced in Milwaukee. We can't have skyscrapers in Milwaukee because we don't have bedrock. We just don't have bedrock until 84th Street. And if you notice the beauty of our skyline with the Abbotsford Apartments, the Elks Club, the Chicago Northwestern Railroad Depot, the Cathedral, City Hall, there was a unique balance to our city. And what you're going to be doing with this 44-story megastructure is throwing the balance all out of whack, especially on the lakefront. You know, we demolished the most beautiful building in the history of the city of Milwaukee, the Chicago Northwestern Railroad Depot, in 1968. In fact, the tower fell on the day we buried Bobby Kennedy in June. I was there. And I fought terribly hard to get that project, that building, saved. We failed, and you know what we were going to build right through there? Our freeway system. We were going to destroy our lakefront back then with freeways, and we fought that as a citizenry, and we're going to fight this. Why are we going to fight it? You're demolishing the downtown transit center. And what symbol does that send to the public? It sends a symbol that you're going to be for the wealthy, the elite, and the corporately powerful at the expense of people who need public transportation to move around this county. And we fought. It was over 70 years that we fought for a downtown transit center, a place recognized by everyone as central to the transportation needs of the people of this county. On your little tickets that people put into the fare box now, the little slogan is Milwaukee County Transit. vital to the community, vital to you, get on board. And what you're seeing by the demolition of the downtown transit center is many things. First of all, it's a symbol that you don't care about transit anymore. You haven't come up with any alternatives to the downtown transit center. It's the only place where we as drivers can have a neutral layover. We were supposed to have the majority of our routes run through that downtown transit center so that we would have neutral layovers, so that we as drivers could get a 4 or 5 minute break away from the hustle and the bustle and the anxiety of driving buses in modern America. The middle class people use the second floor for their weddings. It's one of the more reasonably priced venues for weddings. And there are people who stand on the bridge every day between the O'Donnell and the downtown transit center just to get a piece of peace in their life to look at Lake Michigan. Going to be totally obliterated with this project. And one of the greatest museums unknown to people in this city is up on the mezzanine floor of the Harbor Lights area, which is the Transit History Museum. And I urge all of you to go there to learn a little bit about transit and about the vital importance of transit to this community. And this sends the wrong set of symbols, especially the way we're rushing this here today, this whole process. You know, we had a 30-column-inch story yesterday in the Journal on the Couture. It was the front page, Mary Louise Schumacher. 30-column-inches, and she described it as a banal structure. She called it a tube. I call it a little bit more than that. This is nothing more than a monstrosity. And it is a monstrosity for the wealthy. This is not a corporate commercial project here. You're not going to be having businesses running through here. And did anybody check on what the occupancy is over at Prospect and Kilbourne in terms of the million-dollar condo building that was erected there? Anybody check at the Diamond Towers on Prospect what their occupancy is? And now we're going to wreck our lakefront for a tube? I urge you to step back from this. This whole process, Mr. Abley couldn't get this thing agendized properly last week, and we had letters from four county supervisors for this special meeting. It sends a message to the public that the issue here is one where you're moving away from concern for your poor, the people that need your downtown transit center, the people that need buses. And you're giving over this parcel of land, this important parcel of land, to the wealthy, the elite, and the corporately powerful. I urge you to table this thing today. Bring it back in September when we've had the public hearings. You get a better notice of how the public feels on this, and you can take up the matter at that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pop. Any questions for Mr. Pop? Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your testimony. John Luntz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Supervisors. My name is John Luns. I am the current president of Preserve Our Parks. And I am opposed to this resolution. And I do want to start off by saying that we all receive a packet like this. Everyone with an office in the MEC, I think you supervisors got it as well. It's from some anonymous person showing maps of the lakefront and letters as to why this should not go forward because of the public trust document. I just want you to be on record as saying that Preserve Our Parks did not circulate this, but we do take it very seriously, and so we found that it was important for somebody to step forward and do something with that information. And to that extent, we hired a surveyor to verify, to look not just at the 1927 legislative grants, which I believe reference was just made to earlier about quote-unquote the law, the public trust law. And just to correct that, the public trust document didn't come into the state in 1920 or 1927. It's part of the Northwest Ordinance of 1787 when these territories were established. And when the state became a state, the territory, which is Michigan territory, when it was divvied up and Wisconsin became a state in 1848, the public trust document became part of the state constitution. So this is not something that legislators in Madison can just wave their hands at and pass a new law and throw it out. If you want to modify the constitution to throw out or modify the public trust document, it'll be done through the normal process of public referendums and from there on out. It's Article 9, Section 1 of the state constitution. I would urge you all to look at it before you go forward with too much work on this project. Now, what does all this mean to the present case here? I just heard the last speaker talk about the freeway wars. Richard Cutler was a well-known attorney in town, member of many commissions, Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewage Commission, among others, Sewer Pact, wrote a great book, Greater Milwaukee's Growing Pains, 1950 to 2000, An Insider's View. And I just reread that in light of what's going on these days. And one thing that particularly hits me in there is the freeway wars. We were just introduced a little bit about freeways, but there's maps shown in there in Cutler's book about the freeways. Back in those days, it was said that Milwaukee will never be a world-class city unless we have a freeway connecting 94 to the east, create what ultimately became the Hone Bridge, and also swinging it north through what is now the Transit Center, through Juneau Park, through O'Donnell Park and Juneau Park, and running the expressway right up the lakefront. Well, this morning's Journal had an article in there how front page article about a private or a nonprofit group coming forward and challenging this. And the man they quoted in there is Charlie Camps, who was my predecessor as president of POP and a longtime attorney. Richard Cutler gives him credit for stopping that lakefront freeway in 1971. And how did he do it? Well, there's a downtown loop connector that was supposed to connect 94 and run it north all the way up the Lincoln Memorial Drive, right through O'Donnell Park, Juneau Park, and what is now the Transit Center. And what he did is he involved the restrictions that were placed on Juneau Park, the lease agreements. When Juneau Park was deeded to the county from the city, it said they shall be open and free to the public at all times. And it actually went to the state Supreme Court. The Supreme Court voted in our favor. And this was not Preserve Our Parks, by the way. Charlie did this as an individual. But anyway, the freeway was never built. Well, what would have happened was, had with that ruling from the state Supreme Court, if they tried to build a freeway under those conditions, the park would revert to the city, and the city was under control of Henry Meyer at the time. He was mayor, and he was very much an opponent of freeways, so it would have been a dead duck. So we wouldn't even be here today had not Charlie and other people gotten together and decided that we didn't want an unsightly freeway running up our lakefront. And, you know, that just would have precluded even the transit center being there for us to discuss now. Now, Preserve Our Parks doesn't have a vested interest in the transit center. We heard someone talk passionately about how important that is to transportation. We think transportation is important. We could maybe get by without the transit center. Our concern is with the public trust document. Now, you all are waiting for an update from the DNR. Now, this is interesting because if you take kind of a case in point, there is a restaurant that used to be the Pieces of Eight, and that was built sort of as an aid to navigation so people could go and get a cup of coffee while they were waiting for the ferry. Well, actually, it never was built for that purpose. It was a destination restaurant. And in 1987, the then Attorney General wrote a letter to the DNR saying, you really blew it. This thing should never have been built because this is filled lake bed, and any filled lake bed land comes under the public trust doctrine. It has to be open and free to the public at all times. Snack bars for the convenience of park users are fine. Destination restaurants are not fine. When the Harborsite restaurant, or whatever the name of it is, that exists there now, when its lease expires in 2018, the DNR is going to revisit whether or not that restaurant can remain. We have a letter from the DNR to that effect. So why are we getting into a whole bunch of agreements with specific developers to sell land we do not own? The title to the land resides with the state. Can a developer take a letter from the DNR and go to the bank and say, I've got a letter from the DNR saying I can build here? Who's going to lend them money for that? Anyone got an idea? A title insurance firm, if they chase this out, they're going to find that that title belongs to the state of Wisconsin, not Milwaukee County. So rather than get into a big hassle later on, stop and think about what this is going to cost you to bail out later on if the DNR does their job diligently and says you cannot do this. If they don't say you cannot do this, there's always the possibility that someone might take them to court to force them to do what's right. The public trust document must be enforced, and it will remain, or it will ultimately go to a court to decide whether or not this is applicable, that the public trust document is applicable to this site. So rather than get into a lot of hassles later on, take your time. I'm not going to change your minds. You're going to sign this, and we're all going to regret it later on, perhaps. But anyway, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a warning that this is not going to go away. We can have our public hearings. We can get our letter from the DNR. And regardless of what the DNR says, under pressure from their boss in Madison, wherever it comes from, there is precedent that this is filled lakebed land, and private commercial development cannot take place on such land. Now, we've talked about the value of the land. There's always a possibility that land of equal value can be substituted. Courts may come along and do something like that. I don't want to give you any hopeful ideas, because what's the value of the land? Are we talking about 2.2 acres? Are you going to give us 2.2 acres around Johnson's Park in Milwaukee and say that's equal value? We're hearing numbers like $9 million. Well, in my estimation, this land is priceless. There is no upper cap. Why? Because the public trust document protects it in perpetuity. There's no expiration date on the public trust document. You can go to the legislative grants in 1927. That's not really applicable here. The public trust doctrine does not expire. It goes back to when we became a state in 1848. So it's not expired. So in any land that you'd swap would have the same protection. So no future political body can sell it off. And the only ones that meet that criteria already have public trust protection. So I don't think you're going to find anywhere any land of comparable value to schlep off and say, here, take this instead. So these are just some things I want to leave with you, and I expect you're going to ignore them and go ahead and vote the way you want to vote. But just be prepared for what comes as a result.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch.
Yes.
Any questions, Supervisor Weishaupt?
I think, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say we value the public trust doctrine, and we're not just schlepping it off. It's enumerated in here, and it's to be resolved through negotiation. And I find it just incredibly insulting after all the work that this county board has done over the years to try and preserve our park system and the battles we fought with Scott Walker and the State Assembly and the State Senate to get funding for it, to be characterized as that. We care about our lakefront. We care about the public trust doctrine, and we want to make sure that it's adhered to. And in fact, we care about it enough that we put it into this document, and we're not going to violate it. And not all of this property may or may not be with it. So I think the whole mischaracterization of the county board as being some villains that want to destroy the lakefront is totally inappropriate.
Well, I'm sorry if I gave that impression. I don't really want... My sense is that you're going to approve this. And, you have to appreciate that the general public does get frustrated when some of these deals come out and the public has not had input to it. For instance, should this go before LDAC, Lakefront Development Advisory Commission? That's something for you all to decide. The public really ought to weigh in on which design as well as everything else. I apologize if it comes across as saying that you're not doing your job. I know you are.
Mr. Lund?
Yes.
I would remind you that we created LDAC.
I know you
and
did.
Exactly.
At Preserve Our Parks Urging. Preserve Our Parks urged you to create that.
Thank you. Mr. Lund, what's the title of Mr. Cutler's book again?
It is Greater Milwaukee's Growing Pains, 1950 to 2000, an insider's view. It's awfully wordy.
1950 to 2000. And what's the last part?
An insider's view.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. Gregory Francis Bird, I believe. Thank you, Mr. Bird.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the committee. I sent an email out last evening. I wonder how many of you have received it. So you've all received it, and the point, I think, most important to make at this point is that this is the second most frequently traveled intersection on four of the Great Lakes outside of Chicago. This is an important site. We are blessed with having this site in Milwaukee. The design presented is not uncommon, doesn't really stand out. There are buildings like this around the world. Milwaukee needs something to raise its profile in the world, and this building does not do it. As I indicated in my email, there is an advantage to this site remaining government-owned because it brings in more parcels, can make this a larger-scale development, tying in some of the private parcels into a broad plaza, covering Lincoln Memorial Drive, making this a quiet zone right at this very busy, heavily traveled, and popular site. I would bring to your attention that when I sent this email out, I sent it to you individually. The committee's website had a response box for the entire committee. It only allowed me to put about five lines on there. So I would hope that this could be corrected. I also tried to get a copy of this to Barrett visionary development. Their website only had an address, 1105 North Old World 3rd Street. Before this meeting convened this morning, I went to that address. It was locked. The dust on the corners of the door indicated that perhaps this door has not been used for a while. So I find it concerning that the developer would not have a more convenient method of contacting them so that the public could weigh in directly with them for their consideration of different ideas. I think the important thing, perhaps most important, besides having a world-leading design at this location, is the financial part of it. This is a valuable site that needs to be leveraged to provide income to the county for as long as this site is going to be popular, have a higher market value, and selling it off is going to eliminate the possibility of gaining on the upside. I hope that I see here in the resolution that on November 3rd, 2011, by a vote of 18-1, item here. Let me double check. This was declared surplus property in May of 2012. Well, I don't know if declaring this surplus property includes a penalty to reverse that. But I would hope that you will very seriously consider reversing the declaration of this as surplus property, maintaining ownership and control of what goes on this site as well as the O'Donnell Parking Garage site and in the air rights that exist for various units of government that would allow a large covered area. You also see this in other cities around the world where streets are covered to make a large pedestrian-oriented area, and I think that there's an enormous opportunity and potential for this site, both for the public and public access and for the financial benefit of taxpayers, and I hope you will reconsider this resolution and try to make the most of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Thank you very much, Mr. Berg. Would anyone else like to speak on this matter? If not, we have a resolution that has been amended before. Questions, concerns, comments by committee members? Any other supervisors with any concerns, comments? Keep in mind that Mr. DeFore has indicated that there is ongoing dialogue, ongoing discussions with the DNR as it relates to some new maps that the DNR has been sent. So we will see what's going to happen. He will inform us as to what the DNR's recommendation or conclusion is at some point in the future. On the resolution as amended, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Who's making the motion, Mr. Chair? Supervisors Bowen?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Five ayes, zero noes.